Welcome to the Insightful Nurse Leader. This podcast is focused on assisting nurse leaders become effective managers and change facilitators. Hello and welcome to our 25th episode of the Insightful Nurse Leader. Today, we are joined by Cameron and Emily. Both are recruiters for Providence Healthcare Staffing. Both earned their bachelor's degree in business management from Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. Now, they're putting their brains together in the travel nursing industry to make sure they are preparing each nurse the best opportunity for their next travel assignment. Cameron and Emily, welcome.
Hey, hi. How's it going? Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Certainly glad to have you guys here. It's also a very interesting topic and very relevant topic for all the nurses out there. We're going to talk about travel nursing, right? The demand and outlook. So what is your guys' outlook for the demand of travel nursing in the U.S. for this year or the next couple years compared to the height of COVID a couple years back?
Yeah. So I would say during, you know, the height of COVID, that was like just, you know, top tier, just everything to the wall, just moving so quickly. You know, I would say this year, the projections have gone down. We have a lot of nurses that were traveling during COVID that have just, you know, went back to their staff position. So we are seeing a decrease in travel nursing as far as this year compared to COVID. I still think there are still going to be a lot of travel nurses. It's just going to be nowhere near what it was during COVID. Along with that, I would say just the crisis. If you have a walkout in a hospital, you're still going to have those needs. So definitely a little bit of a decrease, but the needs are still there for sure.
Exactly. You know, they certainly got a taste for that high rate during COVID. And then it dropped, which, you know, a lot of them quit traveling, just like Cameron said. But it does certainly depend on the season, the location. If there's a strike, if there's a crisis, you'll see bill rates change according to that. So it's always depending on where we're at, the market, everything that's going on. But like you said, like during COVID, there's certainly been a decrease just because the rates did drop.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, recently we had that, I think it was in New York, right, where nurses went on strike. And yep. The next year or two or the next few years, we also see a few more nurses, you know, in that retiring age leaving the workforce, or those who, you know, we saw in the past couple of years, people who switched careers, switched specialties, or just left nursing totally. And, you know, that played into a factor to it. And we do have, you know, quite a bit of nurses entering the workforce as well, or new professionals in entering the workforce as well, which is nice. So with that, you know, obviously there are a lot of the bill rates are higher in the West Coast, right? California, Oregon, Washington, and all that. From your perspective, what are the most common areas, or as far as geographic location, that nurses tend to travel to currently?
I would say the biggest one right now, especially because it is winter time, is Florida. Mm. If you look at bill rates in Florida, summer compared to winter, it's just insane. I mean, last year, COVID, obviously, there was an increase in Florida, so it was kind of hard to fluctuate as much. But just based in the winter right now, I mean, all nurses are wanting to go to Florida, but are they willing to take that pay drop? And that's the million-dollar question, because we run into this situation all the time. You know, you get a nurse, they got their compact license, it's a compact state, they're set to go, and you're like, well, this is the bill rate, so hope you're okay with this, because, you know, you can go to these single states that are not compact, California, as you said, Oregon, Washington, Pennsylvania. You're going to see a lot higher bill rate, A, because they don't, not everybody has that license to be able to go and work there, but B, because it's, you know, you're going to have to deal with higher prices for housing. You know, car rentals, stuff like that. It's a totally different world. And so that is definitely the area that we're seeing a lot of travelers go to. I'm starting to see a big increase in Texas as well. I think just having multiple cities, a lot of smaller facilities on top of the bigger ones. So that's definitely an area too that I'm seeing a big increase in the demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just getting ready to say Texas too. Texas is a big one. Florida and Texas around this time of year. And, you know, they'll reach out and say, hey, can you send me a list of jobs? Florida, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina. And I'm like, sure. But, you know, you may not be happy, but, you know, you can get a job and you'd love to go there. But are you willing to take the pay cut for somewhere a little bit warmer?
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, I agree with that. I was just looking at rates recently, and looks like in Texas, I could see like somewhere closer to $3,000 a week, which was not really that high before, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'd say that's about the highest going for Texas, because we're seeing like low twos currently.
Yes. Got it.
I think, you know, especially Florida, you're lucky to get $2,200 out of a contract. Wow. It is what it is. And they're lowering rates as they come along. Each week, we're just seeing a decrease.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. So we talk about pay, right? And that's largely why nurses want to travel, right? There is, you know, obviously from, you know, being flexible, want to see different areas. What is your recommendation and the best way to assess the feasibility of a travel package or a pay package of a travel assignment? And there's not much transparency as far as what does that entail? What are the taxes involved? What are the other logistical things that are going to be deducted? And basing on my conversations with other travel nurses, a lot of them just go for the highest paying gross income, but not really understanding, you know, or the other expenses involved with taking that assignment.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I would say, I mean, this is kind of going back to, you know, expenses. You know, you might get that highest pay. The highest pay right now, it might be in Alaska, but come springtime, Alaska for housing, it triples in price.
Groceries.
Yeah. I mean, groceries, car rentals. I would even bring it down to the fact, you know, a lot of these places that are having these high bill rates, why? And so when you dig further into that, just look at when you apply, when you're submitting somebody to one of these higher paying jobs, you know, the response you get back from the facility, we'd love to auto offer them the job. They don't contact them. They don't want to interview them. They don't care anything about that. Get them up there as quick as possible. And I think that plays a role in you don't know what you're walking into whatsoever. And so that's why I try to encourage my nurses before they go, before we run into a situation where we have to restart looking for another assignment, let me reach out to them so that they can give you a call before you accept this position. Because right now the money sounds great, but it might not sound great once you get there.
Exactly. You always want to try to get that nurse an interview with the nursing manager or something like that and discuss what exactly will they be doing when they get there? What are their ratios going to look like? What's the, you know, what's it like in the hospital? So, you know, that prevents them getting there and then calling, you know, us, the recruiters, freaking out. They're miserable. They hate it. They're not a good fit. You don't want to do that. Even if it's great pay, you know, you don't want to be miserable for 13 weeks. So you always want to figure out what it's going to be like when you get there, and always look into your location too. Are you going to like it there? What's the market like there? There's a lot more that goes into it.
Right. And mm-hmm. I would say something to add to that as well is really we didn't see this whole auto offering, you know, super high bill rates, not knowing what you're walking into until COVID hit. Because once COVID hit, it really gave, not to put the hospital, you know, out on a limb, but it really gave the facilities and these agencies a way to pretty much not have to speak with the manager. The manager could still do their job and they're just kind of, well, we need a nurse, just throw it to the side.
Just getting somebody in there.
Yeah. I don't have the time to deal with them. And so we're starting to see that play out more after COVID. Since COVID slowed down, we're still seeing those auto offers and stuff like that. And I think that's something they're trying to pull over afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it kind of stinks sometimes too, just because, you know, they'll send out a bunch of auto offers. And, you know, you might get an offer for a nurse and then come to find out they sent out too many auto offers. And you're in a spot where your nurse is getting canceled just simply because they just massed all these auto offers. So that's a really unfortunate part about it, too. You know, that's why you, like I said, you really do want an interview just to make sure that it's a good fit for both of you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And just to clarify, do you still see auto offers now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Florida actually does a lot of them and Texas. Yeah. So I just recently got a nurse on an auto offer and, you know, got them to interview. And just like I said, just like it turned out, the nurse manager and the nurse, they just both decided that it wasn't a good fit for this nurse's specialty and what, mm-hmm. you know, she would be doing. You lose a nurse, but you don't really lose a nurse because I get to keep working with them and finding them a new contract. But at the same time, you know, I know she's not somewhere that's just simply not a good fit and is miserable and has the tendency to usually drop out of her contract. So, you know, I don't necessarily mind that, you know, if they do the interview and it's just not a good fit, you can always find them something else that is. So
true. True. I agree. You know, from, you know, being a nurse, auto offer to me, when I first heard about that, to me, that was a red flag to me. I mean, you know, it sounds like a sense of desperation from an organization, which you really can't blame them, right? They're desperate. They can't close the hospital. They, you know, they're wanting to get help as soon as they, you know, they're bleeding out of nurses and they don't want to close. But then again, we are seeing the negative impact of just feeling a warm body.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Miles. That's funny. You know, coming from you as a nurse, I've had nurses tell me before, oh, no, it was an auto offer. Like, that's just, it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's like you didn't earn it.
Exactly. It's almost exactly like that.
So I'm glad that you guys mentioned that. So part of assessing the fit, right, for both the hiring manager and the nurse is really having a good interview. I mean, doesn't have to be a lengthy interview like, you know, you're, you know, interviewing for a full-time manager job. Well, it sometimes takes 2 days. But, you know, having that conversation will mitigate the risk for someone dropping out in the middle of their contract or, you know, shortly after they start. So a big part of assessing that is a pay, right? Can you explain for our listeners, what is the composition of a bill rate and what should nurses be looking into in order to assess if it's a good fit for me or not? And what is pay rate, I guess? Well, there's pay rate and then bill rate, right?
Correct. Yes. So there's bill rate and then the pay rate. So the bill rate is pretty much what we work with. After we pay that vendor fee, we're left with a certain amount of money. And then, you know, probably 85% of that is going to the nurse, and then we're taking 15 off top.
Got it. What are your thoughts about like just having it transparent in an app perspective? I mean, there's, I know a couple apps out there like Nomad and Trusted Health that have that there when you look into their, you know, website and, you know, sign up for them and like, hey, there's a contract here, and they list that out, the pay, the overtime, the stipend, housing, the meals and incidental expenses and all that. That by itself, would a nurse be able to determine if this is a good offering or is there something missing there?
No, I really think that's actually a great way for nurses to look at it. I think from, you know, personal experience on my end, whenever I have one of my nurses send me a contract from a different agency and the first thing I ask them is, let me see the pay package. Let me see what they're offering you. Because then I can go in on my side. If I have that job, I can see what bill rate they're working with, what percentage they're really taking and what they're offering you. And so for me, I like being able to see those numbers, but I also think it is really helpful for, you know, a travel nurse because right off the top, how much untaxed money are they giving you? You know, you can go to the GSA website and look at the state down to the city on how much they allow per day for housing, meals, and incidentals. That right there is telling you, are they giving you the full untaxed amount of money? Then how much are they taxing you on top of that? I think that's just great information that I think that is one of the bigger issues with travel nurses, especially first timers. They don't understand all of that. And in a way, I think some of these bigger companies, they do try and list, you know, this is the gross weekly, this is the tax and untaxed, and we're not willing to budge. Where with a smaller company, you know, we might not give it to you straight up. Like on Vivian, for example, which I know you're very aware of, it usually just shows the gross weekly. And from there, we kind of break it down. And, you know, a lot of companies are willing just to stick to the numbers that they have. They are not willing to fluctuate to help the nurse out or to make them reach, you know, kind of what goal they're wanting to make each week. And so I think that sets us apart too, because we try to offer different incentives, you know, to help them meet those goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cameron could not have described that more perfectly. You know, I do get nurses a lot, especially on Vivian, you know, they're comparing those gross weeklies. And, you know, sometimes ours may look a bit lower, but, you know, I always, like Cameron said, I'm like, let me see that pay package and I'll show you what ours is. And you can look at the taxed and untaxed and what they're giving you and what they're not and what that percentage is. It's really important. They just see one big, bold gross weekly. And, you know, there's always a lot more to that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, I'm glad that you elaborated a lot on that, because I'm sure a lot of nurses who are planning to travel, or, you know, experienced travel nurses, have dealt with a lot of different travel agencies and their different way how they connect. I mean, even for myself, I get a lot of phone calls from travel agencies, and big part of what their selling point is the gross pay, but without, you know, further really explaining a lot of what's behind the scenes and all that. And you mentioned about in the smaller facilities, you have that relationship. And, you know, there is that one-on-one interaction. You can ask clarifying questions rather than dealing with a corporate-ish type of setting. Can you talk about the value of building relationships with the recruiter or you know, the travel agency that you plan to work with?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, the biggest thing that we like to focus on is not having that one-on-one text conversation first off the bat. Let's get on the phone. Let's talk to them. Let's figure out who this person is. You know, what do they sound like? Let's just ask them simple questions. Where are they from? What do they love doing? You know, making that connection and building it is so important, because when it comes time for that next contract, you know, who are they going to think about first? Are they going to think about a different agency, or are they going to think about you as their recruiter? And so I know Emily too, we love getting on the phone. That is key, is getting on the phone and talking to your nurses. You know, it's not possible every time. Sometimes obviously you have to text if, you know, your travel nurse is at work or stuff, but, you know, checking in once a month, having those phone conversations just to hear from them, you know, how are they feeling, building that connection so that they come back to you and they also know that they can reach you at any time, day or night. That is key, because I think that is a huge thing that sets a small company apart from these big travel nursing agencies, is these recruiters have, you know, 30, 40 travel nurses. They can't have the connection that they can have with a smaller company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly like what Cameron said. I get nurses all the time that will respond back to me and say, thank you so much for your communication. Thank you for responding. It's more than just getting you submitted to that one position that you applied for. It's thinking ahead about who's going to be proactive on getting you extended. If your bill rate gets dropped whenever you extend, is your recruiter going to go to the account manager and try to fight to get it to stay the same? Or, you know, who's going to be a step ahead? Who, if, let's say, you know, your recruiter does submit you and your file gets rejected. Is that recruiter going to say, okay, well, your file got rejected, but let's see what else we can find you and submit you to 3 and 4 different places until you get placed? That's huge. It's huge to build that relationship, because that is how you get placed. And that's how you keep a job, essentially, you know, extensions, getting offers, trying time and time again. So It's truly key, and communication for everything, as you know, everybody knows, is 100% key. You know, you don't want to just be talking to some like automated message. You know, I know I'm busy and a lot of times it just sends out an automated message. I want people to know that we're real. We want to help you. We want to get you a job, and we're willing to talk on the phone even after hours.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I've learned from other travel nurses is that they say that they have a backup job. They have a per diem job, or whatever you call that, casual job in other facilities. And, you know, because of the risk of getting canceled. And I've heard, you know, other nurses getting canceled right before they start. And I'm not sure, does that still happen now?
It does, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right. And then what is the likelihood of jumping into another contract after getting canceled? I mean, there is some lag time, I assume.
I guess the biggest thing is, why are they canceling? You know, is it the nurse or is it the hospital? Is it because they offered at too high of a bill rate and now they're wanting to lower it and this nurse isn't wanting to accept that lower bill rate? I mean, the way we look at it is they're almost trying to screw our nurse in a way. And that's just what we've had to learn over the years, is it's not always the nurse's fault. You know, these hospitals are lowering bill rates so quickly that they're willing to drop a nurse that's supposed to start in a week because they don't want to move to it and they're not going to budge to keep what they promised when they signed on. And so, I mean, I think that it plays a huge role, but I definitely do think, you know, if you were to lose a job, finding you that next job is definitely in the picture. It's something that's not impossible. I think the first thing is making sure that your nurse is okay. A lot of times nurses like to try and put the blame on us in some type of way when in reality, we have no control over it whatsoever.
Yet.
And so it's definitely showing them that, hey, this is out of my hands. All I can do is ask them why, and they give me an answer. And there's nothing that I can do on my end to make them agree to what they did agree upon. And so, you know, I wouldn't say this goes for every account manager, but I have found those account managers that say, I feel sorry for your nurse. Let me help you. This is what we have available and I can submit them right now if they're open to it. I think that's something to rare come across, that I think that also comes with building your relationship with your account manager.
Yep.
Knowing that you're trying to help nurses and building that relationship with them is just very key as well.
Mm-hmm. It's always super unfortunate when things just out of really anyone's control happens. You know, that, like I said, we build relationships with our nurses. So when we get them that job, it's super exciting. It's exciting on both ends, the nurse and for us. You know, we've worked hard to try to get them in there and they have all the experience and the hard work. So, you know, it's exciting when they get a new place, like a new job, and they get to travel somewhere. And having, you know, it get canceled sometimes randomly, just out of nowhere before they start, is super, super discouraging. But that's where having a good relationship with your nurse comes in handy, because you can call them and explain to them, you know, I don't know why this happens. It's super unfortunate, but out of my control, and I'm going to work hard on getting you another position. And they trust you with that. And they know that if the contract's canceled, that I've tried everything in my power with the account managers, they're going to help work with me to find them another position similar that would fit my nurse. And, you know, the nurse can know that I, or Cameron, you know, is working hard on finding them something else and security in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, because that definitely does happen. Earlier you mentioned about Vivian. Can you elaborate more about what Vivian is and why you recommend Vivian?
Sure. Yeah. So Vivian is a website where we post all of our jobs. You know, any travel nursing company can use it. Pretty much we just pay a price to use Vivian, where they take all of our jobs from all the MSPs that we work with, all the vendors that have the jobs that we have. We pretty much post all of them on there. We tell them kind of what percentage we like to take, what we like to give our nurses. And so what they do is pretty much just have an algorithm to make a gross weekly, post our jobs, what position it is. And so from there, nurses can go onto Vivian and they can, let's say they want to go to California in a certain city, they can narrow it down to that. Then they can narrow it down to a specialty. You know, if they're a nurse, ICU, ER, PCU, whatever it may be, they can even narrow it down to 36 hours or 48 hours, days or nights. There's so many options to be able to find that job that is perfect for you that you're looking for, but that's how it works. And pretty much from there, what they do is they just click apply after they've signed up on Vivian, which is free for them to do. They just upload their profile with their resume, skills checklist, couple references. And then once they click that apply button, it comes to us. And from there, we pretty much just try and build that relationship and communicate with them to get them submitted over to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like to see, you know, Vivian is a great segue too, because like Cameron said, we can see your profile. So, you know, if I am looking at the job and I'm thinking, this may not be the perfect fit, or it is, I can use that and say, you know, maybe let's not look there. Like, here's another suggestion for somewhere else. And even if, you know, we don't get them submitted to the very job that they applied for, I always love to look for something else. I see it as a great way, you know, even though the one you applied for didn't work out, we can always submit you to different ones. It's just a great way to meet nurses. It's just a great segue to find them any job, really anywhere.
Do you know how it differs from other competitors out there as far as the app itself, or is there something unique to Vivian that you guys recommend?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is it helps the recruiter out, because if you look at, you know, this whole cold calling or Facebook, all these groups on Facebook that they're posting jobs, or on LinkedIn, whatever it may be, you know, a lot of people use these ways to try and get nurses sent over to them. And from there, it's really, you know, either go onto our website and fill out an application, which right there, we're losing time. You know, these jobs move quickly. So by the time they fill out an application, send in that resume, whether it be email or on the website, Then they fill out a skills checklist if they don't have one already. By the time we get all this information, you know, I've seen it go on for 3 or 4 days where Vivian, they click apply. And if they've completed what they need to complete on Vivian and have their profile at 100%, we can go straight in to submitting them once we get that reference or two, which that cuts it down so much. Having their own skills checklist for them to fill out whenever they sign up, that's huge, because those skills checklists, I'm sure, as you know, they're not super short. And so that's something that is nice, is because they've kind of compressed it on into a smaller version, but facilities are still willing to accept it, even though it's not through Relias. And so they're just making a lot of changes to cut down on time for the recruiter, for the traveler. I mean, you guys got jobs. You can't sit in a computer all day and fill out all this stuff. And so that's something that's really useful about Vivian that we absolutely love.
Yeah, it's crucial. That time is crucial because the jobs close so quickly. You know, a job posted this morning could be closed by lunch, just because it just depends. So when someone applies for it, you want to immediately start getting them in there and, you know, submitted to that job. I had a nurse tell me last week, like, wow, she was completely shocked because of how fast the submission process was. She was like, prior to this, you know, it took me a week to get submitted somewhere. And so it just makes it so much easier for them and for us, and it increases the chance of getting a job way more.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So going back to the topic that, you know, when nurses are easily getting replaced or contract getting canceled, it brought a thought to my mind about why nurses left to begin with, went to travel or switched careers. And in this time and moment that we see a lot of nursing shortage, I see a lot of people, whether in LinkedIn or different groups of colleagues of mine, send ideas or solutions and, hey, let's do this and let's do that. But we often forget why nurses left their roles to begin with, whether that's COVID or whatever. And a big part of that is that nurses didn't feel valued at their work. And some situations where they get canceled or they can get replaced by someone that is a lower bill rate, it seems to me that it exemplifies that you're just a number or a line item that can just, you know, I'll find someone cheaper than they can do the same job, you know. And what I see from the clinical side of things is that there's some rub with full-time or employed nurses versus the travel agency nurses, because some of the travel agency nurses or travelers don't have much experience, like bare minimum experience, right, to travel. And then they make much, much more than your full-time nurses who are orienting them, following up on them, and then, you know, making sure that they do things right based on the policies of the organization. And this causing that rub. Do you guys think, from, you know, looking at from an outlook standpoint, do you think that there is a different strategy that needs to be adjusted from a travel agency standpoint to be able to still respond to the market?
In a way, I mean, in my personal opinion, I think part of the issue lies with, you know, why are they leaving? And as you said, as a staff nurse, they're leaving because they feel like they don't have a key role, like they're just another number. And I think as a travel nurse, when they come on board with a different hospital, in a way, you're saving them because you're coming in and helping them out. You know, those patient ratios might be a lot higher if you're not there. And so I think they appreciate you, and nurses see the appreciation from these other facilities when they go in. And so, I mean, in a way, I feel like they're doing the right steps. I think a big key though is, you know, how can we keep staff nurses? And not only that, but how can they feel important, like they are appreciated? And I think that's where hospitals need to play a bigger role in, you know, making sure everything's okay with them, giving them the pay they deserve. Because if not, you know, one day it could just turn into complete travel nursing, no staff whatsoever. We're seeing that in some hospitals. I know of a hospital down in Florida right now, they have 600 travel nurses throughout 4 different facilities. And I send many nurses there. They love it there, but they're just like, it's ridiculous how many travel nurses. You've got somebody new you're working with each week that is new to the floor.
Wow. Yeah. And then it tends to impact the quality of care and consistency, you know, not mainly because they're not competent nurses, but, you know, if you're new to the place, it takes a while to learn the policies, learn where the supplies are, who to call if you need help.
Right. Yeah.
So can you talk about the basic process for those that are thinking about going to travel nursing this year? Talk about the travel nursing process, and from preparing to travel to finding a travel agency to getting submitted to position.
Yeah, I think the first great step would be to get on Vivian. It's great. It gives you a ton of different options. As far as preparing your shells, you really do need a good resume. That's something that we need as far as the submission process goes. We can look through that. Make sure it's up to date because, you know, we obviously don't know your background. Skills checklist, always try to score your highest. If you score low, just retake it. It makes your profile look better. Recent reference within the year. It would be a good if you put your certifications and your license attached on your profile. That always helps us because it just adds to your profile. Like I said, it's all about building a strong profile to submit that makes you stand out. If there's 15 people submitted, you want your file to stand out. And then unfortunately, where it always gets a little touchy is we do need a full social security number in order to submit most of the time. Our platforms are completely secure. We always hate asking that. It's just an awkward subject. You don't want to ask people for their social, but the hospital requires it just to make sure that you've never worked there before and to enter you into their system. So yeah, just kind of be prepared for that. If a recruiter asks you for your social, they're not scamming you. It is just required. It's protocol.
And I definitely to add to that, I think that is, it kind of goes back to the point we were talking about building a relationship with your nurse. That's not going to be the first thing we ask, you know, we're not going to get on a phone call. Hey, what's your social? I'll submit you. No, yeah. You've got to build that relationship before you get to that. And to add to what Emily was saying with making sure you have a strong resume and stuff, I think something that a lot of travel nurses don't realize from agency is, you know, they try and make these great looking resumes. And to be honest with you, all we do is we plug it into our own resume. So we're just taking information off of that, where you've worked in the past, what those dates were, and we're plugging it into our own that we have to send over. And so it's actually shocking how many people do this is they, after they've put, you know, their staff jobs, where which hospitals they work at, instead of telling us what hospitals they worked at with the travel agency, they just put the name of the travel agency and work with them from this date to this date. And we can't put that information on the resume because they're going to reject them. They're going to come back to us and say, you know, well, what hospital was it? They don't care about what company you work with. They care about which facility. Yeah. They want to know how many beds are in it, what specialty you're working in. And so I always try and tell my travel nurses, you know, the key things on a resume that you need is the facility, where it's located, you know, what specialties you worked. If you were primary ER ICU, did you float anywhere? What dates? We need at least the month and the year. Those are the key things that we need in order to submit. If you just put, I worked with Providence Healthcare from 12/12, you know, to whenever, they're going to come back, your recruiter, and say, where at? Yeah. And that's going to slow down the process.
They want to see where, how long, and how recent. You know, if you haven't worked in a few years, you know, starting off trying to go right back into travel, and you may find it a hard time just because they're not going to consider that recent all the time.
Got it. Thank you for that. Now, for the nurses listening out there, why would they want to reach out to you guys and choose you as the next travel agency compared to others out there that's maybe bugging them with their phone calls or emails?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I definitely think the number one thing is communication. As far as being able to reach us day and night, knowing that we're here to help you. We're not just going to submit you to one job and just look at you as a number on our end. We look at you as a nurse. Something that we like to add in, just a little curveball for all of our nurses that they absolutely love it, is instead of paying overtime after 40 hours, we pay it after 36, which I'm sure you're aware of. And it's just like a little incentive, like, I mean, hey, you know, those 4 hours in between when overtime really starts, you know, let's go ahead and give that to them. Make them feel like that extra shift they're working, they're getting the full potential and making the money that they deserve for what they are doing. I'm going to let Emily add on to that, but I definitely think those are some ways that separate us not only from other agencies, but the big companies versus small.
Yeah. And building off what he said about communication, I know something that both Cameron and I love to do is once we get you submitted somewhere, if we don't hear anything back within a day or two, we're reaching out to the account managers. We're asking for a status on someone's profile. We want to know where it is and what it's looking like. If we're starting to get a feel like they might not be getting an offer at this location that they're submitted to, we're going to start reaching back out and saying, hey, let's start just double submitting. Let's submit you to a couple other places, sending them a list, seeing where else they would potentially want to go if they don't get this offer. That way we can be a step ahead. It's, you know, if we submit a nurse and they don't immediately get an offer, we want to start submitting them somewhere else where we know they can get an offer. And until they do, we like to stick by them and not just say, oh, you got rejected. It's always saying you got rejected, but let's give this a try. Or where else would you like to go? There's always extra options. And it makes you feel good knowing that someone wants to help you and is there for you and supports you. I know me and Kara will take calls at 9 o'clock at night and on Saturdays and Sundays. It's important. It's important to know that. I like to think about it, you know, if I was potentially starting a new job and traveling somewhere new, you know, I would want someone to be answering my phone calls, giving me that security, giving me that communication. It's just very important.
Well, thank you for the emphasis on the value of relationships with nurses and recruiters, the hospital and account managers. Thank you for this very insightful conversation. How can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, providencestaffing.org. You can also reach out to us. You can actually search us on Vivian. Also, I think Miles is going to be putting our emails and phone numbers on the podcast. So feel free to reach out to us, text or phone call. We'll love to have a conversation, love to help you however it may be. Even if it's just you have some questions, you're not too sure if you want to start travel nursing, we'd love just to have that conversation so that you can better understand what you're walking into.
Yeah, feel free to email or just text me or call me. Like, I'm completely fine with that. Even if you just have questions, just starting that conversation is always super important.
Perfect. Well, thank you both so much. I really appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Thank you
for having us on.
Thank you for listening. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit milesperillaconsulting.com/podcast. And before you go, make sure you follow or subscribe to this podcast so you can receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for joining me. This is your host, Miles Perilla, and you're listening to the Insightful Nurse Leader. I'll see you next time.